Dear friends, it is a great pleasure to welcome you to the continuation of a series of talks in the Serving the Divine Plan program. As you're all aware, this program has been designed to better equip staff for their reintegration into Baha'i life outside the World Center. Tonight's topic, A Chaste and Holy Life, is being presented by one who is the son of a hand of the cause of God, a third generation Baha'i, and an outstanding servant of the faith. He was born in Germany, and to fulfill the goal of that country, to settle a pioneer in the Soviet Union, a country at that time which was very difficult to access, he, his wife, and their four children moved to a border area of Finland and settled there as pioneers for 19 years. In both Finland and Germany, he served as a member of the National Spiritual Assembly. In 1980, he was appointed by the Universal House of Justice to the Continental Board of Counselors for Europe. In 1988, he was appointed by the House of Justice as a counselor of the International Teaching Center and was reappointed to this institution in 1993 and again in 1998, serving as its member for a total of 15 years. In Rizvan 2003, he was elected to the Universal House of Justice. Prior to his extensive involvement in travel for the faith, he was a member of the Faculty of Linguistics at the University of Savonlinna in Finland. He and his wife, Mrs. Ursula Grossman, a long-standing pilgrim guide, have 5 daughters and 14 grandchildren, who, together with their families, all Baha'is, are actively serving the faith in various parts of the world. Friends, please join me in welcoming this evening's speaker, Mr. Hartmut Grossman.
Friends, it is a great pleasure to see you all, because Tuesdays, when I'm in here, it is not as crowded as now. So it is something very special. Now, you know, listening to an introduction, and especially if it is as well done as in this case, is always a slight bit embarrassing. And I can assure you that it is due to the help of my wife, especially the last case, the family, and the grandchildren. Friends, as mentioned in the beginning by Delise, this evening and the subject, A Chaste and Holy Life, is to be part of this program Serving the Divine Plan. And my intention is to show to you that this chaste and holy life is fundamental to the Divine Plan. This what is intended to establish unity of mankind, universal peace, the divine plan for this mankind, the world order of Baha'u'llah cannot be done without a chaste and holy life. I tried to show you elements during this evening that kind of outline this basic for everything in the faith. Let me briefly return to the introduction again, because there were quite a number of dates that somewhat deal with my life, and which, if you remember some of them, prove that I wouldn't say I'm the oldest in this room, but somewhat show that I have gone into the second half of my life, let's put it this way, which is interesting in this case, because if I think 50, well, let's even say 60 years back, I realize what a change these terms, chastity and holiness, have gone through. It's amazing. You know, if I think back when I was young, what chastity meant, yeah, at least in this part where I come from, that is Europe, Germany, I mean, chastity was, if you were not chaste, especially as a girl, this was really very bad, very bad. Yeah. And if I look now, what chastity means, it's just the opposite. In Germany, if you are still a virgin at the age of 16, 17, you are considered odd. Something must be wrong with you. Otherwise, you would not be a virgin. There you can see the change in these few years, 50, 60 years. I don't speak of holiness. Yeah? Holiness is a word which is really totally out of fashion. It's not in to be a holy, someone holy. I can tell you. Therefore, it is certainly for a Baha'i who wishes to lead a chaste and holy life extremely difficult. This you know yourself. Especially if you are outside of the world's center. So you realize there is a tremendous, how should I say, development against this divine plan that is based upon chastity and holiness in a life. Now, with it goes, of course, a price that we have to pay for this. I don't mean the Baha'is who follow such a life, but those who are outside, mankind, society, civilization. Because the basis for marriage, chastity, is no more there. An honest life, which is part of holiness, a virtuous life, is no more there in this sense. So society pays a heavy price. I don't need to go into details with divorces. I don't need to go into this fact. You know, when you were in Germany at the beginning of the last century, yeah, and you, let's say, at that time, you didn't buy a car, you bought a horse. What did you do? Yeah, you bought the horse, you shook the hand as the buyer of the one who sold it, and you said, if you were the one who sold the horse, you said, "You have my Christian word." This meant this was not someone who wanted to betray you, to do a foul deal. Think of it. Think you would go and buy a car and say such a thing. He would think you are tok tok. Yeah? No, it is true, friends. I just try to be, in this sense, very clear. That you realize where we are. Yeah? Remember that. This all has come because man has become the center of everything. Not anything else. Man has become the center. And so each one of us, you are accepted, but all the others out there, they think they are the ones to demand. The world has to serve them. You have your right in sexuality or whatever it is. And this is why we are where we are. So we have to realize, and I would like to base or to start the what I tell you tonight on three quotations. The first is from Abdu'l-Bahá. You find this in some answered questions, where he explains to us that Baha'u'lláh has come so to educate us, so to educate, as he says, the human reality, that it may again become the center of divine appearance. This is what we lack, to be the center of divine appearance, because we are the center of egoism. The next, the second, is from Tablets of Baha'u'lláh, where he says, man is to manifest naught save goodly character, pure deeds, and a seemly and praiseworthy conduct. Think about your life before you came outside. How often did you find a goodly character, a pure deed, a praiseworthy conduct? And again in Cleanings from Baha'u'lláh, where he says, man, all of us, man is to rehabilitate the fortunes of mankind, and sanctify the hearts and souls of men. And again he says, this can best be achieved through pure and holy deeds, through a virtuous life and a goodly behavior. From this, what I just read, we can have certain elements that help us to not define, because these are only parts, but elements of this, what we call a chaste and holy life. First, it is, as you recall from what is said, it's purity of heart, purity of in thought and action. Purity. It is virtuous deeds, goodly deeds. It is righteousness. Remember what Baha'u'lláh said when he was in the Garden of Rizwan, what he said about trustworthiness? It is moral excellence. This is obvious, but it is also something like modesty, restraint. I'll come back to this. So we have certain elements, purity and virtuousness, righteousness, morality, especially, as parts of a virtuous, of a chaste and holy life. What we learn from this also is that these, what I just said, these qualities of man are divine qualities. This means that if they are not connected with spirituality, we lack them. There's no doubt. We cannot have these elements of a chaste and holy life without spirituality, or you could say without a religion. I'll come back to this in a few minutes. So we have, in a chaste and holy life, divine attributes. Then, interesting what Baha'u'llah says in Gleanings, that a chaste and holy life is to rehabilitate the fortunes of mankind. It is what Shoghi Effendi would call to reconstruct society. I pointed out to you in the beginning, only the last 50, 60 years, what a decline. So our task is to rebuild society and, as we know, to advance a divine civilization. And finally, of course, it is a virtuous and sacred, a holy life, chastity, is a means to purify and cleanse the heart, and a way, as the hidden words say, a way to holiness. I'll try now to further explain what I just said. First, remember what I said, that these attributes of chastity, of holiness in our life, that these are divine attributes. That it is connected with spirituality. With this, what we would call religion. You find this in all religions. All religions have as an ideal a chaste and holy life. The ways towards it are very different. Perhaps the religion that is closest in thinking, in the way how you see a chaste and holy life, is Christianity. Let me only remind you that also in Christianity we have very, very different ways how Christians, at least in the past, the present time is no more a problem for them because they don't feel much about a chaste and holy life, but how they wanted to achieve it in the past. Let me remind you that under the influence of Islam, but in the Middle Ages, around the 13th century, we find in Christianity especially an attempt to show what a holy life is. I don't want to speak of chastity, but a holy life. So you find around 1200, for example, in Syria, a holy man who developed a whole order, a school. They were called the stalactites. What did these people do? They had somewhere in the middle of nowhere, they had a pillar erected, put a platform on top, and sat up there. So they felt they were, because they were a little higher than others, close to God. Perhaps you cannot deny that. But the unfortunate fact was, because they sat up there, didn't eat, didn't drink, very soon they fell down. So this was the way how they felt to lead a holy life. Pillar saints, you call them. you don't have them anymore. Perhaps the reason is that we don't have saints anyway. But it was really, I mean, you laugh about it, but this was how you thought at that time to serve God. On the other hand, we should not forget, even if this sounds like monks and nuns, the Middle Ages would have been lost without any compassion, any, how should I say, taking care of the sick if we hadn't had monks and nuns. There is especially one who Shoghi Effendi, it is in Pilgrim Notes, I admit that, but who Shoghi Effendi mentioned as, how should I say, an example of Christian compassion, a holy life. This is Franciscus of Assisi. I don't know whether you have ever heard of him, but the Franciscans, you can see them still here. Yeah? They have these brown garbs, these coats, cloaks, showing that they are dust, like the dust. They feel lower than anyone else. Their only idea is to serve. Remember what Abdu'l-Bahá said of himself in the Tablet of Visitation? So there is in Christianity this idea of a holy life. That they don't get married is because at that time, monks, nuns, these orders felt they should concentrate on this service to others. Yeah? This was the reason. So the idea of a chaste and holy life in Christianity is close to ours, especially in such a person like Franciscus of Assisi. By the way, he is considered by Catholics as the one who came closest to Christ in this respect of a chaste and holy life. It's worthwhile to read about him. You would be impressed by what this man did. So this is Christianity. It is somewhat close to what a Baha'i should do. Because we as Baha'is we are not allowed to sit on a pillar. Yeah? We have to serve in society, in daily life. There we have to prove by chastity and holiness that we are Baha'is. But actively, we cannot recede. True is that Baha'u'llah says, this, what we do, leading a chaste and holy life, by this we prepare ourselves, and this is our reward, for a life in the next world. This is a fact. Now, I would like to give you a few aspects of chastity and holiness in a life by quoting from the writings, not extensively, this would make it too difficult for the translators, but some, and explain what the faith says about the subject of a chaste and holy life. First of all, Paula says, I'm sure you remember this, it's in the Epistle of the Son of the Wolf, wings that are besmirched with Maya can never soar. Wings that are besmirched with Maya can never soar. Maya, or you could also say clay or whatever, dirt on the wings obviously hinder you from flying. Abdu'l-Bahá in tablets, when he spoke to in United States, he referred to this. And he said, such a bird who is besmirched with Maya on the wings, the utmost he can do is, as he says, hobble along. And he can do this indefinitely, but he will never ever fly. So, a life without chastity and holiness is never, never ever to soar. Is never really to develop for the purpose man was created for. It is obvious, I mean, if you think of what it means, we were created from clay, that's true. But it is nature that is we have to overcome. Otherwise, we are constantly struggling with something. It's the struggling of the survival of the fittest. It is, as you may call, it is ignorance, because ignorance, according to Baha'u'llah, is part of being too close to nature and not to the spirit. It is the animal side. In fact, Baha'u'llah says, if we are clinging to Maya, clinging to clay, we are evil. Because all evil comes from man, all good comes from God. Therefore, I'd like to give you another from Kitab-i Ikan quotation where Baha'u'llah says that we should cleanse and purify the heart because it is the seed of the revelation of the inner mysteries of God. And then he says, I'm sure you remember this, there should be no remnant of either love or hate lingering therein. Neither hate, certainly we understand this, but also not love. This is how our heart should become if we wish to soar up. Because both, you remember what is said in Seven Valleys, both love and hate hinder us from going forward. Both is human. For this reason, our heart must be cleansed. You have in Latin, you have a word or two words which describe this. It's tabula rasa, which means an erased tablet. In Catholicism especially, you use this to describe the situation of a newborn child. A newborn child is a clear tablet. Nothing is written on it. Yeah. This is the beginning of man, how a Catholic sees, and therefore through education, through leading a good life, you imprint on the tablet what it is to become. This doesn't sound so far away from what Baha'u'llah says. It is a hidden word, Arabic, number 71, where he says, write all that we have revealed unto thee with the ink of light unto the tablet of thy spirit. Yeah? If we wish to lead a chaste and holy life, it can orient themselves itself only on the writings, on spirituality, on the faith. Otherwise, it's impossible. Abdu'l-Bahá to quote him, speaks of a chaste and holy life being like a channel through which sweet water flows. Yeah? And he says this flow is only possible, let me quote, you find this in Tablets of Abdu'l-Bahá, that is when he spoke to the friends in North America. He says, when man in all conditions is pure and immaculate, he will become the center of the manifest light, the center of manifest light. All his actions and conduct must be first based on purity, then beauty, and independence. I think it's quite worthwhile to think about bringing chaste and holy life together with purity, no problem for us. Beauty? Something to think about it. And then independence? I'll come back to this idea of independence. And then he says, then the channel is cleansed through which that it can be filled with sweet water. So a chaste and holy life is based purity, beauty, and independence. In Selection of the Writings of Abdu'l-Bahá, again, he says, the people of God, both outwardly and inwardly, shall prove superior to the rest. How? Because of their purity, immaculacy, refinement, and the preservation of health. It is certainly not only spiritual health, it's also physical health. This, Abdu'l-Bahá says, leads to their freedom of enslavement and increases their knowledge. Because self-control, as he says, is first among those who are pure, free, and wise. So, freedom from enslavement. I guess you can see this. If you are not subject to natural inclinations, but you control them, you have this self-control, obviously, you gain a kind of freedom. Yeah? Knowledge is because you are conscious of what you do. Conscious knowledge. It is that you are free. This is what Abdu'l-Bahá again and again told the North Americans. You are from the free. But you should be free in this sense as well. Lead a chaste and holy life. This is, of course, as you remember, this is for the people of God, not the rest. And then, if we approve to this, we are superior. Because we are not slaves. We are free. Let me now come to Shoghi Effendi. Shoghi Effendi spoke quite often about this, that we should lead a chaste and holy life. By the way, you find this in all the writings, whether it's the Bab, Baha'u'llah, Abdu'l-Bahá, and certainly Shoghi Effendi. You find this chaste and holy life connected, linked, quite often. At times, especially, Abdu'l-Bahá has instead also a pure and holy life. But as I tried to explain to you, purity and chastity come close in our thinking. So if you look into the writings, you will find that again and again, these purity, chastity, and holiness are connected in the idea of a life of the people of God, of a Baha'i. Now, Shoghi Effendi, again, follows this by, in Advent of Divine Justice, is perhaps the best example you find about this, what he defines as a chaste and holy life. It is in this edition which we usually use, it is especially pages 29 to 33. Typically for Shoghi Effendi, he always begins in the same way. Yeah? He says, a chaste and holy life is, and then four times he explains in detail what a chaste and holy life means for a believer. Yeah? It is interesting to study this in detail, not only because Shoghi Effendi, I love his style, but this is perhaps my former profession because I'm a linguist, the master of language, how logically he connects everything. Therefore, when you read this, you should study how he develops from one to the other, how he comes from something that is known, for example, about chastity, and then connects it with everything else that leads you up to a holy life. To bring these two, a chaste and holy life, together. Now, let me just give you a few aspects of this chaste and holy life, as you find them in Advent of Divine Justice on these pages 29 to 33. Typically for Shoghi Effendi, he explains and then he gives the quotations from the writings of Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá. A few are from the Bab. Now, the first and foremost, Baha'u'llah explains to us what makes a chaste and holy life is this, what he says, that it is the divine in man. Yeah, it is this what makes us true men. Not this life that mankind feels today is that you just follow whatever comes to your thought and you do it without thinking, but that you are very well aware that you have this life in preparation for the next. You know, you remember these examples in the writings, especially of Abdu'l-Bahá, where he tells us that this life is nothing. It's not real life. It's only in a reality in preparation for the next. And he compares it to the life of the fetus in the womb of the mother, to this what we find in this world. If the fetus was without the extremities of hand and feet, without a mouth, ears, eyes, and whatnot, which the fetus cannot use at all, it's useless. But born into this life, in this world, it would be a cripple. So it is with us. If we do not start with a chaste and holy life in this world, It is in preparation for the next. But it has to be lived, demonstrated, put into reality in this life. So it is the divine attributes, chastity and holiness, to be shown, to be lived in this world. Second, Shoghi Effendi says, is conscious knowledge. A chaste and holy life is conscious knowledge. I guess it is from what I have said, it becomes obvious. If you are not conscious of the divine in you, in yourself, of course you will not follow it. Because the divine in us is difficult to maintain. You remember what Abdu'l-Bahá said when he was in Manchester, also when he was in the States? He said, it is easy to enter the kingdom of Allah, but it is most difficult to stay therein, for the tests are rigorous and never ending. To maintain the divinity within us is constantly tested, because otherwise you cannot prove it, you cannot develop it. Yeah? Therefore, you have to be conscious in this knowledge of the divine. The third, which is quite obvious, is detachment. Shoghi Effendi says, you can't have a holy life, a chaste life, without being detached. Remember what Abdu'l-Bahá said? If you are a slave to nature, you live like an animal. Yeah? Therefore, to become free, you have to detach yourself from things that pertain to nature. Bahá'u'lláh would even go so far to say, from evil, because everything in nature, not in itself, don't misunderstand me, nature in itself cannot be evil, but it is man who misuses it and makes it evil. This is enslavement. This is not conscious knowledge and certainly not detachment. Next is, again, Shoghi Effendi, that he says in Advent of Divine Justice, that he says it is chaste and holy life, is freedom. Yeah? It is that you are achieving something for your life which helps you to overcome. Let me come back to explain this with the example that Abdu'l-Bahá says, a test is only a test to us, and they can be rigorous, I quoted to you, but a test is only a test to us if we think it is a test. Yeah? If we feel that we are taken down, not up. Because the purpose of a test in the face is to bring you forward, to develop yourself. If you think this is a burden, certainly you cannot pass the test. Yeah? Abdu'l-Bahá says, a test is only a test if we are not willing to pass it, to overcome it. Yeah? So we have this freedom that we can overcome all this, what keeps us back, what keeps us not detached, what is ignorance, what is not divine in us. Shoghi Effendi further says, a chaste and holy life means strength. He says, physical and spiritual. Strength. Why? Because he defines it is an endowment with life. We realize what a life in this way of leading the real life, a divine life, of not clinging to the Maya and clay, of what it means to be free, overcome a test. What this means is that we gain strength. Because a test is nothing else but to strengthen us. So this is what Shoghi Effendi says is necessary, that in a chaste and holy life, we are constantly prodded, we are constantly tested to become strong. A word Shoghi Effendi loves to use, which is so important for us, is discipline. He says, you cannot have a chaste and holy life without discipline. I mentioned before, I quoted from a selection of writings of Abdu'l-Bahá, where he speaks of self-control, discipline. Discipline, in the way Shoghi Effendi explains it in Advent of Divine Justice, discipline gives a standard. He says, if you are in a chaste and holy life, you are disciplined, you gain a standard in life. You wouldn't go to extremes, but you would know what makes your life a true life. Divinely inspired, detached, free. That's the life of one who is disciplined. It sets a standard. At the same time, Shoghi Effendi says, if we are not disciplined, then it becomes bigotry. And he says, everyone is in a danger of showing bigotry. Think of fundamentalism, where society around us is, because they are not disciplined. Therefore, we have all these signs of falling into these fundamentalistic ideas. Shoghi Effendi says it is moderation. Obviously, this is not so difficult to realize. A chaste and holy life without moderation is not possible. However, he says it is a chaste and holy life. And holy life should be based on moderation because it is a control. It allows you to enjoy the beauties of life. You remember what Abdu'l-Bahá said? It's beauty. But life is beauty. Yeah? But it is beauty within a certain controlled form. If you are only seeing beauty in nature, you love nature, but then you get lost. Nature is beautiful because of man. We can enjoy it, but it cannot dominate us. Everything that is not controlled, that is not in moderation, is going beyond what a chaste and holy life means. Now, another that Shoghi Effendi says, what a chaste and holy life is, and perhaps you would not necessarily expect it, is that he says a chaste and holy life means order. He says no enterprise in the face, no plan in the face is possible without a chaste and holy life. Let me explain this to you briefly. You know, we have assemblies. We call them spiritual assemblies. Local spiritual assemblies, national spiritual assemblies. You know why? One explanation, according to Shoghi Effendi, is spirit means progress, development. These institutions are for our development. Remember what Abdu'l-Bahá said when he was in Paris? He said, progress is the expression of spirit in the world of matter. Wherever you see progress, there is spirituality. So, order needs to be in a chaste and holy life for the sake of development and progress. There are two more I would like to take from these definitions, so to speak, of Shoghi Effendi of a chaste and holy life. One is this, the second last is as what he calls an uncompromising attitude. This was 1954. Shoghi Effendi wrote a message to the youth that was assembled at a meeting in Luhelen. And there he speaks of their task, their role in society, and he says that we, Baha'is, should feel with those around us. But he says, you never can lower yourself to their standard. You always have to force them up to our standards, uncompromisingly. If you see a drug addict, can you take a drug to understand him? No, because the standard you have yourself in a chaste and holy life. Therefore, you don't need to lower yourself to his state. But you have to force him up, show him what a chaste and holy life is. No compromise. And the last, of course, is cleanliness. This is obvious. We cannot lead a chaste and holy life without cleanliness. It is not only what I mentioned before, what Baha'u'llah says, what all the writings say, what is again and again before us, that we have to cleanse our heart. Yeah. It means cleanliness not only inwardly but also outwardly. I realized this when I came into this country, you know, coming from Finland, so nice and cold in summer, beautiful. Yeah. Now you come here, and as a member of an institution, of course I had always to wear my tie. Yeah. So I was waiting at the bus station, and a Jewish lady came up and said, one thing I admire about you Baha'is. She knew immediately I was, because of my tie, I was a Baha'i. Yeah? So I have also to show moderation here. Certain subjects are out. Like, let's say, something from the beach. This is not a tie I could wear. But she knew immediately. She said, I admire you people because you always show what the ideals of your life are. Not that I want to say I lead a chaste and holy life, but others see in us the cleanliness inwardly reflected outwardly. So these friends were some of the elements I wanted to give you. It's impossible to give you really a clear definition, exhausting definition of what a chaste and holy life is. But it is this what will make us victorious in the divine plan. Let me close with a short word from Baha'u'llah in Tablets, Law-i Hikmat, where he says, "Let your eyes be chaste, your hand faithful, your tongue truthful, and your heart enlightened." Thank you, friends.
Mr. Grossman, on behalf of everyone present here this evening, I wish to express our sincere thank you for your very stimulating presentation on a subject which you indicated should be the controlling principle in our behavior and conduct as Baha'is. Thank you. And friends, now for some announcements. For those of you who are participating in the full program, you will be attending workshops tomorrow. The Life of Service workshops will be held over this weekend, and there are three in the series. The Spiritual Dimensions of Work by Mr. Kaiser Barnes will be held in the multipurpose room of the International Teaching Center building. Coherence Between Work and Service by Mr. Paul Lample will be held in the auditorium. Social and Economic Development by Dr. Farzam Arbab will be held in the dining room. And to complement these workshops, after the lunch break, there will be a series of sessions on the progress of the faith that describes the circumstances in diverse continents. And these will be conducted by members of the International Teaching Center. Those participating in the Review of Africa will meet in the multipurpose room of the International Teaching Center building. The Americas will be in the auditorium. Asia, in the far end of the dining room. Australasia, in Conference Room 6 of the International Teaching Center building. Europe in Conference Room 4B of the International Teaching Center building. For next month's program, we will come together on Friday, 23rd of June, when Mrs. Joan Lincoln will speak to us on freedom from prejudice. Friends, you're all invited for refreshments in the dining room following the closing prayer. Thank you.